All right, let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Zayin. We left off on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. A lot to do today. Says the Gemara, but Amar Rava. Rava said, "Mina amina la, the siv veikra de tikla mina dulalavahu." Rava said, "From where do I know that siv, remember, is the ivy that grows around the palm tree. Ikra de dikla is like the bark, the pliable bark of the palm tree, is mina de lulav." Now, also remember again, Rava was going back and saying, Rava is really echoing this, let me say differently. Rabbi Huda said in the Mishnah that you cannot bind a lulav with anything other than mino, with anything other than the Dalet Minim. Now, Rava comes along in the Gemara, and Rava says, by the way, when we say Dalet Minim doesn't just mean lulav, hadasim, aravos, but rather mino means, let's say, anything from the palm tree from which the lulav comes, including the ivy that grows around the palm tree, as well as the bark itself. So Rava said, how do I know that the siv, the ivy, and the ikra, the pliable bark, is also called mina de dikla, mina de lulava, is also called, again, part of the dalet minim. Visanya, this is also very interesting. Basukos teshu, so the Torah says you shall sit in the sukkah. Sukkah shall call Dover Div Rabbi Meir. It means that a sukkah, that I will say, again, remember, in this context, sukkah means schach. Schach. That's Rabbi Meir says schach can be made from anything. Shall call Dover. Now, obviously, when we say anything, anything doesn't actually mean anything, because we already spoke about extensively the parameters of proper kosher schach. But it means is if it's gudula karka, grows from the ground, it's not makabel tumah, then you could pretty much use anything. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's very interesting. Ein sukkah heges ela bedalet minim shebalulav. Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, you can only use for schach from the dalet minim of the lulav. That's the only thing you use for schach. So you could go ahead and you could use parts of a, you could use, well, dalet minim. Vahadinosin. And the Gemara says it's a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma lulav sheinoi balelos kibiyamim. Einonoi ela ba'arba aminim. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to lulav and esrog, which only applies by day and not by night, meaning you can't take lulav, there's no mitzvah of lulav and esrog by night. To lakach dem lachem bayom harishon. The Gemara understands it only applies by day and not by night. So when it comes to lulav, which only applies by day and not by night, you could only use four species. Sukkah shino heges balelos kebiyamim eno din shlo dehe ela ba'arbaas minin. This is interesting kavachomer. So sukkah, which applies by day and by night, certainly could also only come from the dalet minim. All right, so the Gemara says, Amrulo, so they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Kol din sha'ata dan tchilas alahakmir v'sof alahakil, eno din. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, any kavachomer that initially looks like it yields astringency, but in the end yields a leniency, is not the kavachomer. Meaning, it looks like this kavachomer yields astringency, which is what? That you will only be able to go ahead and use for sukkah, for schach, dalet minim. But in the end of the day, it creates a leniency. What's the leniency? Top of Lamed Zayin. Lo matza arba'as minim. Yeyoshevu batal. Because what happens, Rabosai? Because using this logic, what happens again if you can't find, we already spoke about this, if you can't find a lulav and an estrog? What happens if you can't find a lulav and an estrog? So that's not halacha. Halacha is there's no mitzvah. There's no replacements. There's nothing. So you're going to tell me then the same thing applies by sukkah? That if you can't find dalet minim with which to make your schach, then suddenly again you are absolved of the mitzvah of sukkah, yoshevu batal. That Torah Amr, the Torah said, basukos teishvu shivas yamim. But yet the Torah itself said, you shall sit in the sukkah for 7 days. Therefore, we see from there, sukkah shall call davar. We see from there that in fact, Rabbi Yehuda, you are wrong. And in fact, halacha lemaisa, schach can be made from anything. Furthermore, v'chein be'ezra, by Ezra it is said, tsu'u hahar. This is again, he's quoting the pasuk from Ezra, actually from Nehemiah. Tzu'u ahar, go out to the mountain. Ve'heviu alei zayis va'alei eitz shemen va'alei hadas va'alei tmarim va'alei eitzavos va'asu sukos. So interestingly enough, in the pasuk in Nehemiah, see here you have the Navi going in and telling the people, bring branches, olive branches, bring eitz shemen branches, hadas branches, palm branches, hadas branches, and make for yourself sukkah. So you see from here that what? And again, I will say, you see from here that they're including other things other than the dalet minim, which indicates to us that other materials can in fact be used for the sukkah. But Rabbi Huda will say, Rabbi Huda Savar, hani lidefanos. No. Rabbi Huda will say, you have to break up the items mentioned in the Mishnah. some of the items mentioned in the Mishnah, excuse me, some of the items mentioned in the Pasuk are used for schach. And some of the items mentioned in the sukkah, in the pasuk, are used for what? Wow. Are used for the walls of the sukkah. So, for example, the hadasim, ali hadas, ali tmarim, ali eitz avos lischach. Because rather, Rabbi Huda will say the hadasim and the palm branches and the aravos, the palm branches, the hadasim. Those are all going to be used for schach, but everything else is going to be used for the walls. Utnan, and we learned. We also learned that you may go ahead and use planks, boards of wood for schach. Now I will say, Divi Rabbi Huda, these are the words of Rabbi Huda. Now we're assuming right now that these nisarim are made from what? That these nisarim are planks that are made from the trunk of the palm tree. That's what we are assuming in this context. These are the words of Rabbi Huda. Alma siv the ikra de dikla. Mina dilulavahu. So therefore the Gemara says, what do you see from here, Rabosai? The fact now, let's put this all together. So we just quoted an extensive brisa. Why did we quote this brisa? To highlight the idea that Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that you can go ahead and only use items from the Dalet Minim to go ahead and make the sukkah, to make the schach. So that's number one, what we've established. Now based on that, that's the one we've established. Next, what did we just see? We saw a statement that said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can go ahead and use planks made from the palm tree to go ahead and use for schach. What do you see from that? You see from that that Rabbi Yehuda has an expanded definition of what mina dululava is, of what dalet minim is. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, dalet minim is not just the actual dalet minim themselves, but rather what else does it include? What does it include? From whence they came. It also includes their point of origin. So for example, again, you have the lulav. The lulav doesn't just include the lulav, but the lulav also includes the palm tree from which it came. And therefore, again, Lemaisa, that's why he holds that you could go ahead and use the boards of the palm tree to go ahead and create planks, or so you should use the palm tree to create planks that could be used for schach. Okay, so Alma, siv ve'ikra dedikla, mina delulavahi. Therefore, you see from here that ivy, as well as the bark of the actual palm tree, is considered to be lulav in nature. Shmamina, and indeed turned out that this is correct. So the Gemara says, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yehuda, arba'as minin in midi achrina lo." Now is that true that Rabbi Yehuda said that you can only go ahead and use dalet minin? Also, this stuff still by schach. That Rabbi Yehuda says that you can only use dalet minin for schach and nothing else. Is that true? V'hatanya, but we learned sichacha b'nisarim shel erez sheyesh bohem dalet tefachim. Divrei HaKol Psulos. So we'll say we already learned this before, but yet we learned that Lemais, if you go ahead and you use for schach boards of, now Erez Rabosai presumably means what? A cedar tree. You use cedar boards that have dalet tefachim. Everyone agrees that's possible. We learned this earlier. That's the whole din of Gzeras Tikra. Ultimately, it looks like a roof because these are the type of planks that they would use for construction. Ein bohen dalet tefachim. However, again, if the planks do not have dalet tefachim, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Meir says it's posel, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. And what do you see? Rabbi Meir agrees. Shim yesh bein neser leneser kimali neser. That if you have essentially between each plank an empty space the size of a plank, shemaniach psal beinehen ukshira, and you fill in that empty space with schach, that again the sukkah becomes kosher. Then I will say again, we don't care about Rabbi Meir right now. What do we care? Who do we care about? We care about Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda just say in this brisa? That you can use cedar boards to go ahead and create schach. That's a contradiction. What did we just get finished saying? We just got finished saying that what does Rabbi Yehuda allow for the use of schach? Only dalet minim. And here we see that he's allowing you to go ahead and use cedar wood. To which the Gemara says, no. My eres, what does cedar wood mean in this particular context? My eres, hadas. In fact, erez doesn't mean cedar wood over here. Erez actually means myrtle wood or myrtle branches. So the Gemara says, now how do you get to that? Kidirava barafuna, do amarava barafuna, omri bey rav, asora mine arozimhein. There are 10 types of, literally 10 types of cedars. The Gemara says, well, in other words, there are 10 things that are known by the name as cedar. Shene emar. He quotes the pasuk over here in Yeshaya that says, "Etin b'midbar erez shita Hadas Eitz Shemen Arava Birosh Titar Ta'ashiyato. So here he's quoting the pasuk from Yeshayahu, and the Navi Yeshayahu discusses 10 different things that were different types of quote unquote eres. Therefore, Rabbi Huda will say that hadasim are also known as eres. So therefore, when we speak about going ahead and using, we'll go ahead and speak about using nisarim shel eres. In fact, we are discussing nisarim shel hadas. And therefore, lemaisa, again, that's what Rabbi Huda allows the use of it, because it is one of the dalad minim. The Gemara says again, I'm sorry, shene emar, etin mamida eres shita v'hadas. So we'll say, what comes out from this piece over here is, again, we now have Rava's statement and Rava's understanding that although Rabbi Huda holds that lemaisa, you have to bind the lulav only with mino, that you have to bind the lulav only with its own kind, Rava gives a little bit of an Rabbi Huda, Rava understands that according to Rabbi Huda, there's an expanded definition of its own kind. And own kind doesn't just have to mean a piece of the lulav, or a piece of the arava, or a piece of the hadas, but rather it means even from the trees or bushes from which they grow. From their points of origin, you'd also be able to use, that's still called minan, that's still called their species. Okay. Rabbi Meir Omer, afilu b'mishicha. So also remember, again, there was machlokis and mishnah. And Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that you can even go ahead and tie the lulav together with linen thread. With linen thread. So Rabbi Meir held, Rabbi Huda holds that the lulav, the eged, the binding, has to be done with the minim of the dalad minim, of mina dalad minim. And Rabbi Meir says, no, even linen thread, you could go ahead and tie it together. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, so in this price, Rabbi Meir brings a proof to his statement. Maisa biakire Yerushalayim. Shahayu ogdin es lulavehen bimigimonios shazav. Rabbi Meir says, because everyone knows the Maisa with the important people, the Akire, the special people of Yerushalayim, who would bind their lulav together with literally with golden fibers. With golden fibers. Amrullah, I'll say, first, can you imagine how beautiful that was? So the point that they're bringing from Rabbi Meir is that what? The point that Rabbi Meir is bringing is, you see from here, that you can even bind the lulav together with non-dalid meaning material. Amrullah, they said to Rabbi Meir, Misham Rayo, that's your proof. You can't bring a proof from there. Bemino hayu ogdin osa milamata. Because what would they do? First, they would bind the lulav. They would bind the lulav itself with dalid meaning. And then on top of that, they would put golden thread on top of that to make it look more beautiful. Similarly, Rabba said to those individuals, now Rabba said, Megadle Hoshana, if you look at Rashi, he says, Megadle Hoshana, Ogde Halulavim. So the Rish Galusa was the head of the community in Babel. So the Rish Galusa had people who used to tie the lulavim for them. So comes along Rabba, and he says to people, Rashi's Megadli doesn't mean grow. Megadli means ogde halulavim. The people who were binding the lulavim of the Rish Galusa, so Rabba came along to them and he said, listen, when you're binding the lulavim, ki gadaliso hoshana de be Rish Galusa. When you go ahead, it's very interesting. When you go ahead and you tie up the lulav, you bind the lulav of the Rish Galusa, of the house of Rish Galusa, Shairi Bay Base Yad. Make sure, look at Rashi, Shairi Bay Base Yad. Rashi says, Mitachas Le'eged, Shaloi Kachene B'makom Ogdo. So what Rabbi was telling them was, make sure, you're going to bind the lulav. I will say, again, that when they're binding the lulav, it's not necessarily the way we have it today, with this whole holster contraption. But again, binding lulav is very simple. You take a lulav, you take hadasim, you take aros, and what do you do? And what do you do? You tie it up. that's the binding. So Rabbi Rabba said that when you bind the lulav, make sure to leave a space that you could hold on to the lulav in without binding, without touching the binding. Meaning have a part where you could hold on to the lulav, hadasim and the aravos, just holding onto those things without having to touch the binding. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, he says, mitachas le'eged, I'm sorry, shari be'be'siyad, mitachas le'eged, so leave a space for them to grip the lulav hadasim and aravos without the binding. Dekasavra ina eged mina mitzvah. Okay, I'm sorry, ina eged mina mitzvah, kirabanan, do'amri ein tzarech eged. So what's like is, interestingly enough, Rabbi held that there is no obligation to bind the lulav. We bind the lulav because of zekeliv and it makes the lulav look more beautiful, but there's no obligation. Because there's no obligation, therefore again, leave a space that you could grab the lulav without touching the binding. In order that what? In order that the binding not create an interposition, not create an obstruction between the Reish Galusa's hand and the lulav. So what Rav is introducing over here, Rabbi Osai, is that I literally have to grip the Dalet Minim themselves. So you must say, what this hinges on over here is whether or not Eged is a mitzvah. If the binding of a lulav is a mitzvah, then by definition, the binding becomes part of the Dalet Minim as well. And as such, there's no chatzitza. However, if Eged is not obligatory, if it's not necessary, but it's something nice, then Lemaisa, again, I want to be able to hold the lulav hadassah min aravos not on top of the binding. I want to be able to hold them without the binding in order that there's no shiloh chatzitza. Rabba holds that there's no need for Eged. It's nice, but it's not necessary. Therefore, tells the lulav assemblers of the house of the Reish Galusa, make sure to leave a part that they could grip the lulav without the binding. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Rava says, no. Rava disagrees with Rabba, and he says, Kalina oso eino chotzeitz. Not true. Anything that is there for the beauty of the lulav, by definition, is not a chatzitza. Right? Remember, I'll say, a chatzitza is something that's alien, it doesn't belong there. So says Rava, if the binding is there ultimately to beautify the lulav, which it is, therefore, by definition, it does not create a situation of chatzitza. Va'amar Rabba, and Rabba said, Va'amar Rabba, lo linkot inesh hoshana besudra, deba'ina lekicha tama v'leka. Similarly, Rabba said, a person should not take his lulav, wrapping it in a scarf. And we'll say, now this could take on one of two possibilities. It could Rashi. Lo linket inat hoshana besudra, kishenot lo lotispo. Lo yichroch sudar shevink seifav al yado, viochaz bohalulov. So we'll say, let's say again, a person goes ahead and takes a scarf and wraps it around his hand. Rabba says, you should not take the scarf, wrap it around your hand, and take the lulav like that. Or, for that matter, take the scarf, wrap it around the lulav, and take it like that. Why? Because if you do that, because you need a lekicha tama, you need a complete act of taking, and having the scarf there represents a chatzitza, and so the mice again will not be a complete act of taking. But Rava Amar Rava says, lekicha al yidei davar acher, shma lekicha. And Rava comes along and says, no, even taking the lulav through something else, lekicha al yidei davar acher, is not a problem and is still called an act of taking the lulav. Amar Rava, mina amina la lekicha al yidei davar acher shma lekicha. So Rava said, from where do I know that taking the lulav, literally al yidei davar acher means through something else, which is another way of saying that even taking the lulav in a way in which I'm not holding the lulav directly, but lemaisa again, I'm holding the lulav, you know, even with something else there, is still called an act of taking the lulav. This nan, quote the Mishnah. Ezov katzar, this is by paraduma. So remember again, the process by paraduma, so I take the red heifer, I go ahead, I shecht it, I burn it, I take the ashes. I have a stone utensil that is filled with spring water. I sprinkle the ashes into the spring water. I then have that mixture. I then take ezov. Ezov is a hyssop plant. I take the ezov, I dip it into the mixture of the water and the ashes, and then I sprinkle that on the person who is tameh. So the Gemara deals with the following. The Mishnah deals with the following situation: Ezov katzar. I will say, remember the way they used to have it is the water and the ashes would often be like in a tube. So sometimes it could be that the ezov was too short to get down to touch the water on the bottom of the tube. So what do you do in a situation of Ezov Katzer, of short Ezov? So the Gemara says, Misafko Bechot, Ubekush V'tovelomale. You could tie thread onto it, which would then allow you to lower the Ezov down. Or Kush actually is a spindle. So spindle would mean you could attach something solid to the end of the Ezov to make it longer and to be able to push it down, to be able to come in contact with the water. The tovel, I immerse the ezov, umale, and then I bring it back up out of the water. Va'ochez be'ezov, and then I grab onto the ezov, umaza, and I sprinkle. So Mar says, why should this work? Amai. V'lakach v'tava amrachmana. They both say, how could this work? Because in essence, you are not really dipping the ezov itself into the water. What are you doing? You're either holding the thread or you're holding the spindle. So why is that good? So the Gemara, after all, the Torah says, you're supposed to take the Ezov itself and dip it into the water. Elalav Shmamina, what do we see from here? Likicha ayide davar acher shma likicha. But rather, what do we see from here? That the act of taking an object, even with something else, is what? Is called a bona fide act of taking. So the Gemara says, one second, mimai, dilma, maybe that's not a good proof. Dilma shiny hasam kevan dechabre ki gufei dami. Maybe that case is different, because they will say, what are you doing? You're actually attaching the thread or attaching the spindle to the bottom of the azov, to the bottom of the hyssop. So maybe once you attach something to an object, then what? Then what? Then it mamish becomes like part of that object. And lemehacha, because also remember in this case of the scarf, you're not attaching anything to anything, right? I'm wrapping it around my hand. So maybe this case of the azov. Okay, I tied it onto the azov. It becomes part of the azov. Elamehacha. Rather, you have to say it comes from here. Nafal mishfoferes l'shokes. Puzzle. Plus another interesting case. If let's say again you had ashes of the para aduma. Shfoferes literally means like a tube. So I had the ashes. Now the idea is there's a sequence. You when you have this wooden bowl in which you receive everything, the water has to go in first, and then the ashes of the para aduma afterwards. There's an order. If you reverse the order, the avoda is possible. So let's say now the water is in the bowl, and I go ahead. I'm holding the tube of the para aduma ashes, and the tube falls out of my hand, but the ashes end up falling into the water. So they fell out of my hand, ends up falling into the water. Excuse me. So what the halacha? Puzzle. The halacha is the avoda is puzzle. The avoda is puzzle. Why? Ha hipilu hu kosher. And I both said the reason why if it falls out of my hands, that it's puzzle is because again I didn't have kavana for the act. I didn't have kavana for the placement. It fell out of my hand. I didn't have kavana to intentionally place it there. Therefore, the avoda is puzzle. Now, what we infer from that avoda is what? But if I were to shake the ashes out of the tube into the water, then it'll be absolutely fine. So the Gemara says, but amai, why is that? After all, v'lakcho v'nasar amarachmana. But I will say, again, the Torah says, you shall take the ashes of the para aduma, and you shall place it in the water, which seems to indicate that what? That how am I supposed to do it? I'm supposed to take the ashes from the tube, put it in my hand, take v'lakcho, and then place it into the water afterwards. And yet again, in the case where I'm emptying out from the tube, I am not handling the ashes of the para aduma directly. Elalav shma mina likicha al yedei davar acher shma likicha. But rather, what do you see from here? That the act of taking an object, even through an intermediary, is in fact halacha lemaisa called an act of taking. So I want to share with you, this actually yields a very interesting halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch in some tough resh nun aleph sif zayin writes the following: Im asa base yad v'nasan bo halula unat. So we'll say, understand why this has a lemaisa ramification. This is very lemaisa. Lemaisa is, let's say I make for my lulav a holder, which we all do, right? I make for my lulav a holder. Right now, I take it with the holder. So, have I fulfilled the mitzvah of lulav? Again, remember, machlokes. Rabbi will say no, because Rabbi will say you need likicha tama, you need a complete taking, which means that my hand has to touch the dalaminim itself. Rava says no, likicha ayidei davar acher, taking an object even with an intermediary there is still going to be okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says, im asa beis yad. If you made a beisad means, beisad literally means a handle. In this case, it really means like a holder. If you made a holder, v'nasan b'halulav, and you put the lulav in it, and you took the lulav, shap your dummy, your yotze. Why? Delekicha al yedei davar acher, shma likicha. Because an act of taking the lulav, even with something else, is still called an act of taking, however, with one caveat, ubilvad, sheyehei derech kavod. As long as what? As long as you're doing it in a way that is a derech kavod. And I will say, why does Shulchan Aruch throw that in there? Because what did Rava also say? Kol shehu l'na'oso. Anything that is there to beautify the mitzvah of lulav, to make it nicer, is not chotzeis, it's not creating interposition. Avalim inu derech kavod. But if it's not derech kavod, kigon shenasan halulav bikli unatlo. For example, Abosai, if you were to go ahead and put your lulav in your coffee mug, I take a coffee mug. I put my lulav in the mug. I figure, you know, it's just much easier for me because you could do it actually. You put your lulav in your mug, and they say instead of holding lulav, I'm just going to hold the handle of the mug. So instead of holding the mug, I'm going to hold my esrog in my other hand. So says the Shulchan Aruch, that you can't do. Why? Because that's not called derech kavod. He's that's sudar unatlo. But again, if you wrapped a sudar around, if you wrapped a sudar or a cloth around your hands or around the lulav, so he says, oh shekarach sudar. Excuse me. If you wrapped a sudar around the lulav, or you wrapped a sudar around your hands, yesh omrim de lo yatsa. There are those who say that you are not yotze. So interesting, Rav Osa, just so you should know. The contemporary application that Mishnah Berurah says, you know what the contemporary application of this is? You should not wear gloves when you take lulav and esrog. So we'll say again, if let's say it's very cold, you should not wear gloves when taking lulav and esrog, because wearing gloves would be essentially the equivalent of what? Of wrapping the cloth, wrapping the scarf around your hands. So the Rama quotes over here, he says, therefore also listen to this, v'nogu lahachmir lahasir hatfilin v'taba'os miyadam. That's why he says those who are wearing tefillin, and I will say many have the custom to remove tefillin before Hallel, but there are customs to wear tefillin throughout. So Rambam says those who wear tefillin during Hallel should remove the tefillin shalyad, not the whole shalyad, but should at least remove the tefillin again from their fingers and any rings that a person may be wearing. It's very interesting. Halacha ma'aseh, any rings that a person may be wearing in order to avoid any kind of chatzitza with the hand and the dalin minim. Aval medina ain lachush. But the Rama says, okay, if you didn't do it, you were still yosei the mitzvah. Hovil ve'in kalyan mechusar. And since again, the tefillin doesn't cover the whole hand, and certainly a ring doesn't cover the whole hand either. Rabbi says, I'll tell you something very interesting. So this actually gives birth to the custom that many are familiar with. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, ubishim ha'ari kasvu. Then we have to go on. The Ari says, sheyivarich tchila besuka al halulav. So we'll say, interestingly enough, this is the Ari says that a person should actually take lulav and esrog in the sukkah before davening. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests that the reason why perhaps this is a good practice to institutionalize is why? Because for those who wear tefillin over Chol HaMoed, this is an easy way to make sure that what? That they fulfill the mitzvah without any kind of chatzitzos. Take it beforehand, before one's wearing tefillin, therefore one is yotzei. So again, so you see from here, halacha lemaisa, what we see, and by the way, Mishnah Berurah also quotes that over here, the statement of the Rama of removing the rings on the finger of the tefillin before halal, the Mishnah Berurah isn't really contemporarily relevant, because as in our circles, even those who are wearing tefillin usually are removing the tefillin before halal. So halacha lemaisa, We paskin like Rava, that lekicha ayidei davar acher is shma lekicha. That something that is on the lulav to beautify the lulav is not chotzeitz, does not create a chatzitza. But something that is not there, the naosa, the scarf, gloves, that may be there for my comfort, ultimately does create a chatzitza, and therefore one should not wear it. And halacha lemaisa says Rama, if pasul to be machmir, to go ahead and remove tefillin, to remove rings, when taking lulav and esrog, that is best. But halacha lemaisa, if one did not, because it does not cover the hand in its entirety, one is still yotzei. Good. Weiter. Says the Gemara. Itmar. Esrog shnak. No, sorry. That's yesterday's daf. Knew that looked familiar. All right. So, v'amar rabba. Three lines down. V'amar rabba. Lo lodot inish lulav bahoshana. A person is interesting. A person should not push down his lulav in his bundle. And I will say again, this doesn't as much apply to the way we have our lulavim bundle today. Because the way we have our lulavim bundle today is that people have like this holster. And therefore, the truth is like the aravas is in its compartment. The esrog is in the hadassim. But he's saying in the way they didn't have these kind of holsters in the Gemara. In the Gemara's bundle, literally everything was bundled together. So the Gemara says over here, Rabba says, don't adjust your lulav when it's already in the bundle. Why not? The dilma notri tarfe v'havi chatzitza. Because what happens when you adjust your lulav in the bundle? What's going to happen? You're going to end up taking off leaves of the hadassim or the aravos. And I will say, what will happen? Detached leaves, according to Rabba, create the chatzitza. So you will end up having a chatzitza between your lulav and the hadassim and the aravos. Therefore, again, better just to untie the bundle and then retie it in the way that you want it. The Rava Amar Rava says, no, min bamino eino chotzeitz. So we'll say, Rava says, Rava, I'm sorry, it's not true. Min bamino, which Rava says means two like items do not create a chatzitza. So in other words, Rava says that you're right, even though detached Arava leaves are not part of the Arava, but detached Arava leaves do not create a chatzitza, with an arava. They still have the identity of arava, and therefore there's no chatzitza. The Amar Rabba says lo ligos inish lo lava baoshana v'mishtairi hutsa v'avi chatzitza. Similarly, Rabba says, do not trim your lulav while it's in the bundle. So we'll say, apparently, again, if the lulav was a little bit too long, this is not as much on top. This is on the bottom. This is on the bottom. But let's say the lulav is too long and you want to trim it down on the bottom, on the thick base. Rabba says, don't do that. Why? Because what's going to happen? It's going to leave like a chutzah, literally means pieces of the palm there. And what's going to happen? It's going to create a chatzitza. So again, Rabba says, no. Min bamino eno chotzeitz. Rabba says, no, that won't create a chatzitza. Two like items, or I should say, apart. Two items of the same min do not create the chatzitza. The Amar Rabba, that's another interesting halacha. Hadas shal mitzvah asra lehariach bo. Rabba says, you may not smell the hadas of your dalad minim on Yom Tov. Now, why not? So look at Rashi. Asra lehariach bo. Digarminon misukah diafina parakama. Techal shim shemaim al atse sukah leasra bahana. Kol shiva. Rabbi say, listen to this, because essentially your hadassim become muktzah. Now muktzah means different things in different ways. For the hadassim, Rabbi say, what are hadassim normally used for? What are hadassim? For their smell. For the smell. Remember, many in fact have, there's a beautiful, by Sfardim they have this, also by Hasidim they have this, to actually take hadassim every Erev Shabbos. To take hadassim at the beginning of Shabbos. Ultimately, again, to make a borei isve or atse b'samim at the beginning of Shabbos, some matzei Shabbos. So the idea Rabba says, is that the hadas of mitzvah is muktzah, is set aside for mitzvah use, which means you cannot use it for scent. You cannot smell it on Yom Tov because it's muktzah for that purpose. However, esrog shal mitzvah, but the esrog you use for your dalet minim, mutar lahariach bo. You are permitted to go ahead and smell it. Why, Rabbi saying? Because an esrog is not used for its scent. An esrog usually is eaten. So meaning each item is mukta in a different way. The hadas is mukta in that it can't be used for scent because that's normally what it's used for. It's set aside for the mitzvah. The esrog, which is normally used for consumption, again, you can't eat your esrog over Yom Tov, but you can smell it because an esrog is not normally used for its scent. So my time, why is this? Hadas, because a hadas, which is normally used for its scent, kia kaitse, when it becomes mukta, meaning when it becomes set aside for the use of a mitzvah, it becomes mukta for all other purposes, and all the purposes in this context means what? Merecha akaitse, it is set aside for non-use for its scent, therefore you may not smell it. Esrog, dila achila koi, but an esrog, which is normally set aside, which is normally used for consumption, therefore, when it's set aside for the use of a mitzvah, it is set aside that you may not eat it over the course of Yom Tov. And I will say, we'll define exactly what that means. It is set aside for non-consumption. And therefore, Rabbi say, you could smell the esrog, but you may not smell the hadas. And the rabbi says, similarly, hadas b'mechubar mutal ariach. Rabbi say, this is on Shabbos. This is on Shabbos. This is not during Sukkot. He says, Rabbi, you are permitted to go ahead and smell a hadas when it's attached to the bush on Shabbos. Now, Rabbi say, however, esrog b'mechubar asa lahariach bo. But if you pass by an esrog tree on Shabbos, you may not stop to smell the esrogim. Right? There are sometimes you shouldn't stop to smell the esrogim. So you can't stop to smell the esrogim on Shabbos. My time, well, what's the reason? Hadas de lahariach koi, because the hadas, which people use for scent, isharislei lo asile migziei. This is very interesting, that we're not concerned that if you stop and you smell the hadas, that you'll go ahead and you'll detach it. Why are we not concerned about that? Because you can smell the hadas without detaching it. And you don't need to detach in order to enjoy it. You can smell it right there. Esrog de la achila koi, but esrog, which is usually used for consumption, what are we concerned about? Isharisle, if we let you stop and smell the esrogim on Shabbos, ase le migziye. You may come to what? You may come to detach it from the tree. Va'amar Rabba, similarly Rabba said, lulav b'yamin ve'esrog b'smol. We take our lulav in our right hand, assuming you're a right-handed person, and your esrog in your left. My time, what's the reason? Hani tlas mitzvah, v'haychad mitzvah. Because the lulav bundle represents, so to speak, three mitzvahs, lulav hadassim and arevos, and the esrog is only one. Amrli Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zreika, v'may tam lo mevarchinon ela anletilas lulav. So Rabbi Yirmiya said to Rabbi Zreika, why is it that the bracha of lulav is only on the tilas lulav? Why isn't it on the tilas, lulav hadasim aravos ve'esrog. Meaning, why is only lulav mentioned in the mitzvah? To which the Gemara says, hoil v'gavoa mikulan. Because why? Because the lulav is taller than everything else. The lulav is the tallest min. So the Gemara says, the Gemara gives an interesting suggestion. V'ligibiyei le'esrog v'levarech. Fine, I'll tell you what. Lift the esrog higher than the lulav. Right, fine, no problem. Go and lift the esrog higher and make the bracha on the esrog. No, no, see, I think you misunderstood me. Amar le, hoil ubemino kavon mikol. No, no, I don't mean just in terms of where they're being held. I mean, the lulav is the tallest min out of all of the minim. Therefore, the lulav has a chashivos above and beyond all the other minim. And therefore, the bracha reflects the chashivos of the lulav as being the tallest min. And therefore, the bracha is on the tilas lulav. Now, there's a lot to say in terms of the smelling the hadasim and the aravos over the course of the course of Yom. We'll have to do it a different time because I just want to finish. But just we'll come back to it. Says I want to share with you the Shulchan Aruch on that. Says the Mishnah, the Heichan Hayu Menanis. Now we get to the fascinating discussion of Na'anuim, of shaking the lulav, on Sukkis. So where do you shake? Now, interestingly enough, the Mishnah does not tell me why I shake. The Mishnah just says, tell me where do I shake? So the Gemara says, Heichan Hayu Menanin, where do you shake the lulav? Behodu La Hashem Tchila V'Sof. In Hodu La Hashem, in the beginning and the end. So the Gemara Rashi says over here, Hodu Shebetchilas HaPerek, Vahodu Shebesof HaPerek, Besof HaHalel. Both remember, we say Hodu La Hashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasdo two times in Halel. Once in the Hodus, and once in the last paragraph in Halel. So you shake it in the beginning Hodus, in the end Hodus. Uba'ana Hashem Hoshiana Devarbeis Hilal. And we also shake the Lulav in Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Ube'shamer B'shamer says, Af Ba'ana Hashem Atzlichana. B'shamer says, no, we even shake in Ana Hashem Atzlichana. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, like, this is amazing. Sofa Hayisi, but Rabbi Gamliel of Rabbi Yoshua. Also, you've spoken about this many times, that so much of halacha is learned by observation, by having a Rebbe and looking what your Rebbe does. So comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, I have to tell you, one time I was looking at Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua during Halil on Sukkis. Shekala'am hayu minanin estulaveen. Veheim lo na'anu ela ba'ana Hashem hoshiana. So what Rabbi Akiva says, I have to tell you, apparently, common practice was like Beis Shammai, that we shake the lulav during Ana Hashem Hatzlichana as well. And Rabbi Akiva said, I looked at these two great gedolim, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, and I saw that although the rest of the people were shaking their lulav during Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, these two great rabbanim only shook their lulavim during Ana Hashem Hoshiana, like Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara. Ninua man de karshme. Let's just read the tulas and we'll have to stop over here. So ninua man de karshme. So the Gemara says, interestingly enough, so here's what's fascinating. The Mishnah begins by telling us where we do the na'anuim. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah takes it for granted that what? That we're doing na'anuim. Where do you know that there's a concept of shaking? Maybe for all we know, the mitzvah of dalet minim is what? Is what? It's just taking it. First of all, that's the Torah says, ulakachtem. Torah just says, take it. Why does the Mishnah presuppose that there is this concept of na'anuim to begin with? So really, literally, na'anuim man dekar shmei is whoever spoke about na'anuim, whoever heard of na'anuim before, that you're coming along and taking it as a fait accompli that we're doing it, so as you're giving me the details of when we do it. The Gemara says, no, hasam koi. The Mishnah is actually picking up on a Gemara that we had earlier on. What did the Gemara say earlier on? Kolulav shiyesh bo shlosha tvachim kedei lena'anea bo kasher. Because we'll say, what did we learn earlier? We learned earlier, the Gemara said, any lulav that has three tefachim that allows it to be shaken is kasher. So what do we see from here, Abosai? That already when we spoke about the shear of the lulav, the shear in the lulav was predicated on how much lulav you need in order to be able to effectively shake it. Therefore, it says the Gemara, we see from here that what? That the Gemara already understood that there is the concept of na'anuim. Once you've already established that there is the concept of na'anuim, the Mishnah picks up with the discussion of what? Of when we do the na'anuim. All right, we'll stop over here for today. We'll Amir Hashem pick up with Vic right over here, the Heicha and Na'anim tomorrow.
Okay. We should get.